What is up? This is Speak Up, Speak Out. How are you guys doing? I got my girl in the house. What's up, Andrea?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. That's good. Man, are you excited for Mother's Day or what?
Oh, I am. I am.
Okay. What'd you get for your mom?
Well, I got her a little bracelet.
Okay.
Thing took forever to come in. You know, quarantine.
Right. What is up? Hello, Makeda. How you doing?
Greetings. How you doing, Mariah?
I'm great. So, are you looking forward to Mother's Day or what?
Yes, I am. Yes. I am. Even though we in the house, I guess, celebrated probably on the porch somewhere, but we gonna make it work.
Right. That's good. We're waiting for one other person to come through, but we'll just get started right into the segment. So, today is Mother's Day. Technically, today is Mother's Day. So, being a person that's not a mother, but McKenna, you are a mother. What was it like having your kids?
Oh, having them, you mean like going through labor or?
Let's start out with the basic.
The first part, right? That's what happens.
Let's start out with the first part.
But I mean, having children is, of course, is a blessing. You know, I'm very grateful for all my boys. I have three boys, and the ages range from like 25, 14 and 12. And I would say that having my children really pushed me to change my life. For my oldest son, I was a single mom for like 10 years. And so it pushed me to be more responsible and take my life a lot seriously, because I realized that I couldn't like have as much fun as my friends who were going to college. I had to, you know, slow down a little bit. And while everybody else was having fun and going to a lot of parties and still, you know, living their life in their 20s, I had to slow down and be more responsible, you know, work full time, you know, figure out my schedule with college. I remember going back to college when my oldest son was 8 months old. And so it just shifted my perspective of what responsibility looks like.
Okay. So, how was with labor, being a person, like I said, that's not a mom, how was labor? Did the doctors definitely help you to know, if you were going to have a natural birth or not a natural birth?
Yeah, for my first pregnancy, I did it the traditional way, which is the epidural, because I didn't know any better, you know?
Right.
I had no idea what I was going to experience.
Okay.
As far as, I didn't know anything about natural childbirth, labor, and time. So that one was different.
Okay.
But then
go on. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. And so because of that, I only knew what my mother went through. So, and what the, you know, doctor told me to do as far as, you know, having a child. But I did have to go to the Lamaze classes, and I really didn't, I didn't feel prepared compared to when I had my other two children naturally. I feel like it's like I was just going through the motions of it, because I still was working full time. And so I was eating right and, you know, make sure I take care of my body, because I've always been like pretty much health conscious because of the way my parents raised me.
Right.
But I felt like I didn't know what to expect, really, you know. But when I had my other two sons, you know, it was totally different. It's totally different because I have other friends around me who have had their children naturally. We were sharing stories and, you know, about what to do. And then one of the things I learned from my other two children, like my friends were telling me to do raspberry tea. And raspberry tea is supposed to be really good for when you have your contractions, you know. And then so.
I wish I knew that.
I know, huh? And I had to do a lot of raspberry tea. Yeah, I had a lot of friends. I know it's sad because a lot of us don't even know those things at all, you know, because you go to a regular, you know, doctor, it is, you know, they check you and it is tell you what to eat, but they don't tell you all the other things you could do with your body to actually make your labor easier.
Right.
And so that's why I think my experience of having the other two natural was different, because the education part was really there.
Right. So you had all the knowledge you needed to make sure the next pregnancy would be a little more easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, welcome, Kinsey. Kinsey is actually a new mom. So I'm so happy she can be on so she can get a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of knowledge on, you know, things that she can do being a new mom. So Andrea, you don't have any kids, right?
No, I don't.
But being a person that doesn't have kids, what are you looking forward to having kids?
For me, it would be just teaching them, because I feel like nowadays there are a lot of kids that are messed up and a lot of parents don't want to take care of their kids.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree with
especially
that.
Especially when it comes to mental health. I feel like that should be something a parent should extremely care about for each child.
Mm. Okay. Okay. I like that. McKenna, what do you think about, like, what, obviously we just went through the labor portion of what it was like. when you had the kid there, what was it like being a mom, having to obviously impart things into your kids as well as learning your kids? Because all kids are different.
Let's see, I was hearing just a portion of it, like it was going in and out a little bit. I think.
Oh, no, you're good.
What was the question again?
I asked what, we obviously went through the labor portion of what it was like having a kid. What was it like having the kid outside of the womb and having to impart things into the kid as well as educate the kid? Were you able to hear me? McKenna, are you able to hear me? Oh. Andre, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Kinsey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. McKenna, can you hear me? Okay. I don't think she can hear me. Hello? Okay, we're going to try this again, guys, just to connect it. I'm going to just send you guys the link again, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, we're back. I don't even know what is happening with this connection, but I'm tired of it. Government, we're still doing the video. Sorry. Nice try though. But yeah, Kinsey was talking about some really actual real things though, because I feel that like that actually happened, bro. Like that's crazy that she started figuring out things in sixth grade, because usually, like I said, I started mine in fifth grade. Like they brought out a whole freaking like seminar. They brought out the symphony, yeah. And then they brought out like condoms and they had everything out. And they also had, I think if I'm correct, they also had like different like themes. They had the girl, they had everything. They had people, they had like they made us do like they made us do so much stuff. Mm-mm. I was so tired of it too. I was like, if I do another seminar. And then the church one was even more great, because you had all these biblical people talking to you about stuff and you're kind of just sitting there like, bro, I'm not even focused on that. Like, that ain't even the move.
But yeah, true.
Like, that's cute and all. Like, that's cute. I'm glad you're, like, enlightening me or whatever you're doing. But, yeah. Like, I'm not even worried about it. Like, I don't care. I am really focused on my studies, and the fact is, like, I'm not really focused on a dude. Like, I think certain people at that point were, But like me as a person, I wasn't really focused on like a dude at that time. Like fifth grade, I was focused on like my grades and like my snacks and my lunch.
Did you say your snacks?
I'm serious though. Like I was not focused
on that. Teach people how to focus on their grades and their snacks.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I was focused on. People used to laugh at me too. They used to be like, Mariah, like you're so weird. And I'd be like, bro, we're in fifth grade. Like, I'm not worried about this boy staring at me that like me. I don't care about him. I'm focused on these grades. Like the fact that if I go home with F's on my report card, my butt's gonna be handled. So I'm gonna do my grades and I'm gonna eat my snacks.
Was an S bad for you?
F, yeah, my dad was no joke.
Oh, an like, F. An I F. thought you said an S.
Oh, no, not an S. An F. What? An F. And then if any, like you know how in fifth grade some kids wouldn't go to class? Okay, maybe you don't know. But I had friends. What? I had friends in school.
What? Like, didn't you only have one class? Right?
But my friends, girl, I had friends that didn't even come to class, bro. They ditched in fifth grade. How do you ditch?
How do you do that?
That's what I said, girl. I don't know how they did it.
Well, I did have a friend where her little brother rolled out of the classroom. I think he was like in third grade. And he just rolled out the class.
Oh,
no.
No, he crawled out the class.
Out of here. See, I can't do that. They're gifted. Because, boy, I was scared of my dad. I was like, if he pulls up, it's a wrap. Like, my life is over. So, I'm going to be up in this class. I'm going to sit right up in this class. I'm going to sit in the front row, not the back. And I'm going to make sure these grades are good. Okay? But that's basically what I was focusing on. But I feel like those are things, like, I don't know. My parents were very open. So, like, when it came to sex, I already knew what sex was. Like, it was nothing new. I just wasn't a part of it. I wasn't a part of that movement. I wasn't doing that. Yeah, I was so focused on my grades and, like, other things that I didn't have time to really focus on a man staring at me, you know? And I feel like as women in society, as we have daughters and sons and stuff like that, we really need to focus on telling our kids, like, the having a male attention is not just the focus, honey. You really need to focus.
I know. Yes. That's what I say a lot because, like, because I'm one of those people where, like, when I dress, like, I like to dress nice, but I don't show a lot of skin.
Right.
But I still get, like, male attention.
Right.
But then, like, I have friends where, like, they're showing, like, this and that. And...
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, I've had friends like that too, girl. And you, but it would be like negative attention. Like it would be from a guy, but it's negative. It's still negative.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But I do also.
And I tell them. Oh. And I'm just like, you don't have to dress like that to get a male's attention. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how you're dressed, you're still gonna get their attention.
Right.
Based on who the male is.
Right. I'm trying to tell you, but I feel like you really need to start imparting that. Like, doing that more often in these women. Like, we're obviously older. I mean, I'm 23. My cousin, who's on the phone, she's 25. Kinsey, you're in the 20s as well. You know what I'm saying? And then, Makena, you're like, you know, you're older, but you're, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like the mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like a mom. So,
Spirit's mom. Like,
yeah, you mom, okay? But I feel like we really need to start imparting, being the age we are, we really need to start helping these younger generation out, like these women, and tell them, you ain't gotta do that, shawty, to get attention, honey.
Okay. Yeah, like she asked, like my friend, she asked me, like, why do I always attract these kind of guys and this and that? I'm like, well, you can start with the way you dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the point.
It is.
Yep.
Like, let's start out. You're mad about the men you attract, but what are you dressed like? Are you dressing like a woman that actually wants to be a wife? Or are you dressing like a woman that wants to be disrespected? You tell me what we work with.
Like, like clubbing clothing is not an everyday wear. Okay?
No.
Yeah. Thank you. Somebody said it.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. Like, no matter where I don't care if I'm going to the grocery store. If I'm not in sweatpants, I have on a button up and like leggings or what are those, or some slacks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, because what if I always tell people, What if you run into
because somebody? You never know who
you're
going
into. What if you run into somebody important, like that job you wanted, right? You run into the corporate person that owns that job, but you looking like torn up to the floor of, and they looking at you like, I ain't never hiring her. She ain't even presentable. She ain't even ready at all times. But if you go in there ready to go, you run into this CEO of whatever, and they're like, oh man, she can dress. And you're like, hi, my name is Mariah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Boom. You just got a connection into that job you wanted. You've been wanting because of the way you dress, the way you're talking, the way you're moving. But if you move this way and you don't decide to actually look presentable, why are you shocked that you're being disrespected? I'm lost. Yeah. I just want to know. What's up?
I mean, you know, as my mom taught me, she was like, never leave the house with a bonnet on your head.
Oh my gosh.
No matter what I have on, like whether it's sweatpants or my pajamas, I always make sure my hair is clean. Yes.
But you got some girls out here who just, you'd be like, did you try today? At least just try.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, help me out. Gosh, but yeah, being women, but even with men, like we need to also be being a mother.
Oh, yeah.
Being a mother of some boys or some men, we need to be able to teach them, hey, if a woman looks like that, don't pursue that woman.
But it reminds me of, remember Mariah, the book we're reading?
Yes.
We're talking about hygiene and how even men need to think about hygiene also.
Yep. When it comes to trying to pursue a woman, you don't go up to a woman with your armpit smelling like who did it and why, and your teeth yellow. I want you.
Yep.
No, like, one thing that gets on my nerves is sagging.
Yes. Oh my God.
And like, there are some guys who don't mean to sag, but their pants happen to be a little too big. But all I just tell them is go buy a belt or go buy some tighter pants.
Yeah, I like sagging to me is unattractive. Mm-hmm. It just makes me want to walk the other direction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But also, they don't even know what sagging means, because if we went into detail on what it meant, woo, I promise you, sagging would stop today. Sagging would stop. Okay, to put like a red sign that says stop. Okay. Yeah. But I just feel like moms that are, you know, a mom of sons, you really need to teach them, hey, if a woman looks like this, honey, don't pursue that. Educate them. Hey, honey.
Yep.
Regardless of if they're fine or they look attractive or whatever, walk up to them and be like, hey, I think you're really attractive, but the way you acting and the way you dressing, it really don't line up with something that I want in my household as a wife.
That's true. And also, you know, it's like you can still be body confident and you don't have to show off your body.
Thank you. Oh my God.
I know, like, I think that's when I feel really good about myself. Cause I work downtown and like, there's like a lot of like a nice track.
Right. It's downtown. You know how that goes.
So I'm either wearing when I go to work, I'm either wearing slacks or a pencil skirt. Like I have a thing for like turtlenecks. Yes. I don't know why. But like, I remember this one day, like I was fully covered. I was just minding my business, and this man told me that I was really beautiful and stuff. And it just made me really feel good because like I didn't have to like show off so much skin for someone to notice.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right. So I feel like in those moments, that's when I feel like mothers are the nurturers. We are the nurturers of the household. So if we're able to nurture our kids and able to really, you know, tell them different things like, hey, honey, hey, daughter, hey, baby, you ain't got to wear all that, honey. Hey, go back inside. Go put on something that really, you know, you ain't got to show your skin, honey. You know, we're not trying to pull those men, and really impart that into kids of modesty, especially women. And I'm not saying showing a little skin sometimes is bad. No, it's not. Because sometimes you are. You're going to have that shirt that just kind of shows a little too much skin. And you're kind of going to be like, oh my God, I don't know if I should wear this shirt. That's when somebody that's an older generation, the older heads, should come in and be like, hey, yeah, honey, I don't think that's, no. That's not working for me.
That's true. For me, my mom always said, if you're going to show one thing, cover the rest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's good advice.
Yep. I mean, and then with me, like, I mean, I ain't got no, you know, if you know me, you see me, you know, I ain't got no top. You know, we just chilling up there. You know, we living our life up at the top. But at the bottom, you know, I have hips. I have butt. So it's like, I have to make sure when I go out, I make sure everything covered down there. You know what I'm saying? I'm a sweat person, sweatpants person, you know, and then certain dresses, you know, because a lot of women don't think about that. Oh my gosh. And I'm tall to add on to that. So it's like, you really got to make sure your dress, you know, goes with your height. That it's it goes past your knees, not above your knees, where you know you're showing a little too much, or your butt is kind of sticking out. You know what I'm saying? Or can a man look at you and Google with his eyes your butt shape? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you the right? You know, is it backy enough? So it's not too much. You know, I don't know. I just think of these things, and I think of like, how I'm gonna be as a mother. Like, that's one thing I'm probably gonna.
Yeah, raise. Like, that's how I think too.
Yeah, like, how am I gonna raise my daughter? Like, or my son? Even with sons, hey babe, you're not about to go outside with sagging pants. No, pull your pants up. Where the belt at? Don't make me go grab my belt so I can walk with the belt that you gonna put on your pants. You know, or even looking presentable by the hair, because you know a lot of men. No offense to the men, I am tired of seeing boys go out with nappy hair. I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't know what the wave is of movement, but I need you to pick your hair, or I need you to shave it off, or I need you to do something else with it. Moisturize it. Do something. You got curly hair? Moisturize your hair. Don't make me put my hand through your hair and over here it's nappy and my hand's stuck. I got a problem. I do.
Mariah, you're helping me to take down a lot of notes because I'm raising three boys. So I can know what the expectations are for when they're seeking a wife in the future. Okay. I'm taking mental notes of this. I think the bottom line is this, that you want to be dressed the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
If you want to be treated like a queen and with respect, you have to dress with respect.
Yes.
You know, I know sometimes some women are very sister about that because they feel like, you know, women's liberation and we need to be able to dress the way we want to. We shouldn't have to worry about this and that. And it's not about that. It's about that we live in a society where people are exposed to a lot of different things.
Yes.
And so how they view women is that's what we're basically against.
Yes.
You know, this society does not teach people consistently about how to treat women.
Yes.
You know, and we live in a
place. Yeah, and with all these role models on social media too. Well, so-called role models.
Yeah, they're not helping the press.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to. We have to have more people modeling what that looks like.
Right.
You know, more, and that's what the main issue is, because everybody. I feel like everybody trying to relive their teenage years, and they're like in their 30s and 40s, and that time is gone. That time of you testing and not knowing who you are and all this stuff. It's gone. You eventually got to start showing up when you model a behavior that's going to help generations ahead of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't know, like you said, Mariah, you don't know who you're going to bump into at any time. Mm-hmm. I have, like, because I produce comedy shows, you know, and I do, you know, do events, period. I've met guests that could possibly be on my show at a, you know, at a grocery store.
Yep.
You know, or different events where I'm not even looking for business, but someone comes to me and say, hey, I heard that you do this and that, and I want to do business with you. So you have to be like dressed to impress, but in a way where you're always looking like, whether it be business casual or sophisticated, always look like you're taking care of business.
Yes.
You know, because that does attract positive opportunities to you. And then also we're modeling what we want. In my case, I'm modeling to my boys of what a woman should be like.
Yeah.
You know, a virtuous woman. And so I have to be mindful of that every day. So thank you guys for telling me all the things that you guys think that you don't want. Because I sure gonna be letting some of my boys know this is what they don't want. So y'all gotta get together.
Yeah. You got it. Hey.
You gotta take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And respect yourself.
You have to have those talks with, you know, your kids.
Oh yeah, and respect yourself. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you definitely. Mm-hmm. You gotta have those hard talks with your kids. Sit your kid down and be like, hey, you know, if you bring this type of woman home, I'm gonna look at her cross-eyed, like straight up.
Yep.
I'm your mom. I'm no offense, and that's another thing. I feel like a lot of moms, no offense to moms, but this is Mother's Day. So we are going to be real with it. Moms, when you know, your sons bring a woman home, or even your daughter brings a dude home, you mm-hmm. really need to have some stuff to say. But don't say it in front of them, no. You don't say that, because you don't want to degrade a kid. You don't want to degrade a person that your son brings home or your daughter brings home. You don't want to do that. You want to always show respect. But when the lady or the man is gone, that's when you really need to sit down with your daughter or your son and be like, hey, what's wrong with this? Because I didn't raise you like this. And I didn't raise you to want a woman that doesn't respect themselves. And I didn't raise you. I didn't raise you as a daughter. I didn't raise you to want to downgrade on a man. He's not a man. He's a boy. Why do you want a boy? You know what I'm saying? You want a man. Because how? I guess my dad used to always say, think about every time you meet somebody, think about how your household is going to be run with that person.
That's a good one.
How is he going to run your household? If he is the man of your household, how is your household going to be ran? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be ran with confusion, discord?
Whew.
Or is it going to be ran how a man should really run a house? Is he going to love you?
Yep.
Is he going to cherish you? Is he going to take care of business when he needs to take care of business? Is he going to step up when he needs to step up? And as a wife, because I know everybody, we can't just go for the men. For as a wife, are you ready to be a wife? When your son comes in with a woman and you're talking to them, you talk to him on that perspective. Can she run your household? Can she nurture your kids? Can she take care of your kids? Can she impart things that you're not going to be able to impart because you're out here working? Those are the things you really want to think about. And I feel like a lot of times as parents, we don't want to be honest with our kids. Like, I'm going to be one of them honest parents. That girl, she looked like torn up to the floor enough. Don't bring her back. She ain't welcome. She ain't welcome at this house. She ain't welcome. It's that simple. And then if my kid's mad at me, I'm going to be like, okay, in the later years, you're going to understand why I was the mom I was.
Yep.
Because I wanted you to do better than what I did, regardless. Because that's what you want for your kids. You want them to be, you want to do good because you're, you know, when you're a kid and your parents are raising you, your parents will, at least my parents told me this, I want you to do better than what I did. So it's you're always leveling up for your kids. So when I have kids, I'm going to tell them, I want you to do way better than what I did. So if that means I have to impart things into you that you might not like, I'm still going to do it. Because one day you're going to look back and say, when I'm dead and gone, you're going to say, there was not a moment my mom didn't impart things into me. There was not a moment my mom wasn't there for me. You know what I'm saying? So those are things I feel you should always be thinking about. But we're also about to jump into discipline, because a lot of people don't talk about this either. So, Makena, what is your way of disciplining your kids?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, basically, I know the old school way, you know, of course, is spank your children. You know, so, you know, I know that when they're young, like my mom will always say, you know, spank their little legs or whatever, you know, because they did something and just do a little tap to let them know, don't do that, you know. But I know that the best way to discipline your children is that you want to, is teach them that if there's going to be consequences when they don't do something right. Mm-hmm. And you have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. consistent because it gets to a point where it's like, you know, when they're young, you know, and you say you throw them real fast, they get it real quick, because they're thinking, I can't play with my toy, I want to play with my toy. But then when they get, as they get older, sometimes that's not going to work, because now they're thinking, I can outsmart my mom or outsmart my dad, I can do something, I can figure a way to get it done, even though they think I'm not gonna be able to do it, you know. And so you have to really find out what they value and let them know that if you don't do this, then this is going to be taken away, and don't give it back. And I don't care if they cry or whatever, you say, no, you can't do this. And I know sometimes me being, you know, a mother, you know, and I always wanted to make sure my children are happy and feel good. Sometimes it's even hard for me to watch them suffer, you know, because it's like you feel bad because you like they really feel like, oh, the world against me, you know what I'm saying? And I had to like toughen up, and my husband be like, Mikayla, don't worry about that boy. He gonna be fine. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, so I make them do standards, you know, they don't like that, you know, like give them pieces of paper that to write something over again. You know, and they can't cheat. They can't put I. They had to write the complete sentence or the positive way of how they're gonna deal with the situation, you know, to instill in their head.
I like that.
So I'm trying to think of like an example of what somebody did recently. Oh my God. I can't remember right now what my youngest son had did something that I told him to do and he decided that he wasn't gonna do it. And so I had him to sit there at the table and write out that I will always respect my mother when she asks me to do something. I will always and it's funny because he's like, look at me like, oh, Mom. It's like, see that, you know, wherever they get like that and they're going to work, they know they don't want to do it. And he had to sit there and do it, you know? And so, and of course, you know, a lot of the kids are into video games, you know, don't have them playing that thing all the time because it is like, it seemed like the perfect babysitter, but it's not because it just tunes them out from the world. They think that's all the world's about, you know, take that thing away from them. If they don't know how to act, I know like some parents, you know, like their kids, you know, have these expensive phones and everything, whereas all the gadgets, you know, take that away from them for a month. Yep. You know, if they did something that's really, you know, not good, you know, show them that, hey, I pay for this bill every month so you can have a good life. So you could be able to talk on the phone or play your games or, you know, communicate with your friends. If you don't respect the people who run this house that make sure you have a roof over your head, then I'm going to check these things.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So you just have to keep on, you know, teaching over again. I mean, sometimes I get tired. I tell my husband all the time, I get tired repeating myself. you know, you feel like it's just like you're a broken record and you got like, didn't I just tell you that 2 days ago and I do that? And, you know, and it's like, it just, you don't even, like, they don't even listen sometimes. So, so that's why you have to get their attention. You know, like we was talking about earlier about what do they care about? Figure out what they care about. Maybe they like that special candy you get from them every Friday, and you ain't getting that candy this week because you didn't clean your room up. And I tell my kids sometimes because I know because we have like a canyon in our backyard where you can hear things at night. I'm like, oh, y'all must want to camp out, huh? Y'all want to be out there because y'all don't care about what's going on here. No, Mom, I ain't gonna be outside. I said, well, then you better take care of this and that, you know. And sometimes playfully, you know, threatening them and stuff, so you make them know that you appreciate them. And one thing I don't like is my boys when they waste food. I'm always reminding them, do you realize there's people who do not have food? There's people who are homeless and they can't get water, basic needs. And so I hate when they waste food, you know. So if they be wasteful of things, it means that you're not gonna get so favorite treats or, you know, that you like so much. You know, you're just gonna just have your healthy food only. Yeah. Your vegetables and your protein, that's it. No extra.
I agree.
Basic.
I agree.
Yeah, but I think that's the best way because I mean, I know, you know, some people really believe in still, you know, spanking your child and everything. I think that, you know, if you do it in a way where you ain't abusing your child, like, you know, like you like tap, you know, you may tap their little legs and no, it works when they're younger, you know, but as they get older, you know, kids start thinking, you know, for themselves too. And some of the kids would be like, they'd be like, okay, that's all, you know, cause I even my sons, like when I'd be like getting mad at them and they'd be like, Mom, I mean, okay, Mom, I got it. You don't even have to yell at me. I already know. Yeah. I already know. You know, so if you develop that relationship with them where they respect you, as soon as you open your mouth, they're going to be like, okay, I don't even want to hear them now. Okay, what do you want me to do?
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, because my boys are funny. They crack me up. They do. They crack me up. They do. Because I think like my 4-year-old, he made me mad one day, and I like popped him on his shoulder. I say, like, why'd you do that? He said, did you have to pop me? He said, I was going to do it anyways.
Well, I was just making sure, you know?
Yeah, because I get on my nerves sometimes. I'm like, I get on my nerves. But yeah, but I'm saying, if you, the thing is what you do with them when they're young is so important.
Yeah.
And no matter how many times you have to run your mouth and talk to them, it would pay off when they get older. It would pay off, you know. Yeah, don't get laxed on it. Don't get laxed, even though it irritates you, because it irritates me when I have to keep on disciplining them. It bothers me. I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't even want to say nothing. I don't even like telling you can't do this. I want you to have a good life, but you don't think this is important. So
then I'll take it away since you don't want to listen. Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
Andrea, what do you think about discipline? What do you think you're going to do when you have kids? Obviously, because you don't have kids, but what kind of discipline do you want to impart?
I think it's a discipline in many ways. As you said, like, probably take some stuff that they care about or anything. For me, with discipline within learning.
Yeah.
I know I had a bad experience when I was younger with that situation.
Right.
I just say, I don't feel like you should pressure your kids or spank your kids because they don't know something.
Right.
Or because say they're like 3. And they don't want to play with the cards today. I'm just going to be like, okay, it's just not going to happen today. But we'll try it tomorrow.
Right.
I think I'll probably have a little bit more patience.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big key is patience with your kids.
Right.
When it comes to even with discipline, still, you're just like, okay, you got one more time.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I totally agree with that. Tensy, how do you want to discipline? Because, you know, you have a new mom, so how do you think you're going to be disciplining?
I tell people that I don't want to spank her.
Okay.
Like, maybe that's just how I am right now.
Okay.
But, like, I wouldn't, like, do nothing crazy. Like, maybe just, like, a little pop.
Okay. That makes sense. Is there anything else you want to, like, if you don't want to pop her or anything like that, is there another way you want to discipline her?
I'm actually getting a lot of tips on discipline right now.
Okay.
That's like help. Cause all I just know is that I don't want to pop her or anything.
Right. I totally agree with that. I mean, see, okay. So y'all the nice ones. So see, I'm not nice. So let's go through why. So my dad, when I was
I also don't want to be that parent where she's gonna like walk over me I'm like the good guy and then her dad's like the bad cop where he does the discipline and stuff.
Right.
Like I definitely don't want to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's how my mom kind of set up our household though. Like my mom really wasn't the disciplinary. Not, don't get me wrong, she will yell. I'll be honest, okay, well I gotta head out, I'm gonna head out this way and I'm gonna go now. But when it came to disciplinary stuff, it really was my dad. But this is one thing my dad told me. So when I turned the age of 13, my dad stopped disciplining me. And the reason he stopped, like, disciplining me and, like, whooping me and stuff like that is his whole motive was, I don't want you to think that it's okay for a man to hit you.
Yep.
And I was like, huh? Like, when I was younger, I didn't understand what he was saying. But now that I'm older, I do. What he was explaining is that I want you to be able to know that a man should not be smacking, he shouldn't be hitting, he shouldn't be doing nothing like that. Don't get comfortable with that.
Yeah. And that's a good point, Mariah, because that's what I was saying. Like, it gets to a point where that no longer is necessary. You have to like be able to talk to your child and they know the difference and stuff. Because like, you know, when a child is young, they don't really know what they're doing, you know. And so when you say no, 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 then you're telling them, look, and they're like, oh, okay, you know, because they say, oh, when I do this, mommy doesn't like that, you know. But as you get older, you come to a point where the child should have like a foundation of what is right and wrong. and you have to find other means to get that positive reinforcement that you're looking for. Because you don't want to have like this crazy relationship with your child where they don't want to communicate with you no more, or they just look at you as like, oh, they never talk to me, they don't understand me, you know, they just throw me out to the, you know, wolves, and that's it, you know. My mom always explained everything to me. Every time when I got a little spanking, my mom told me why I was kidding. And she explained to me, you know, and then she would give me a hug and said, because she didn't like, you had to. It would be like there's a few little, you know, pops on the behind, you know, and that's it. You know, your soft little cushion.
Yep. I agree.
You know, it was no, you know, craziness, you know, but it was enough to say, no, don't do that no more. You could hurt yourself. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But yeah, as a child get older, you have to have that communication going more with them.
I have a question though.
Yeah.
It goes into the discipline part, because it's like, what do you feel as though the difference is between talking back and speaking up for yourself?
All right, McKenna, that's all you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me. And then I have to go there. Cause I don't like when people talk back to me. I be wanting to just pop them in their mouth, because you know that's my first thought. What? You know? And then I have to figure out another way. They said the old school way, but people used to make you have to put hot sauce on your lip.
Oh,
talk
back.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, so you would know not to, and you're always going to burn because you talk back. But since we can't use all those methods, we're going to figure out a way. Well, you know, what you have to do, first of all, when it's okay for a child to have an opinion, right? You know, it's okay, because you do want them to be able to feel comfortable enough to say, why am I in trouble? You know, or why this? But it has to be done respectfully, because you don't want to be in a place where your child is like, for me, I have boys, right? And they're growing past me. I got two of them who are taller than me right now. and the 12-year-old is trying to catch up. I don't want no boy thinking that he could like tower over me and say whatever he want to me. No, you know? And so you have to have that, you know, seriousness with your child, like, you know, because I've heard where some kids have like been abusive to their mothers, you know, because they're getting bigger or they feel like they can, and you don't want them to, you want them to know that, hey, don't you talk, don't you say that, you better, and you discipline immediately. Yeah. You do not allow them to do that. Now, but what you do, you tell them, like, say, if you don't like what I'm saying, then you have that. I'll give you a chance, you know, to be able to express yourself in a respectful manner, like, you know. But do it during time where everybody will cooled off, you know. So then that way you could have like a decent conversation wherever.
Uh-oh. Can you hear us?
Hello,
McKenna. Oh, her connection.
Yep. There.
That's always her connection.
Okay, Maya, you got everybody still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
So you always want to be in charge, you know, because what bothers me when I see like a 4-year-old and they're literally, mom is trying to tell them to do something and they're saying no, and they're telling them and they're walking away. I'm like, no, that ain't gonna work, because I start thinking about that child one day will be 8, one day they're gonna be 10, and they're gonna be still doing that. No, we don't do tantrums, we don't do that. And you gotta break that thing immediately, because it's, you know, because it's just a respect thing, you know, because it's like like they say, don't fight the hand that feeds you. You know, if you're a good mother and you take care of your child, you work in two jobs, you know, you're making sure they have food on the table, you're sometimes, you know, I'm being a mom sometimes, I know I'm just tired from all the stuff I had to do. The last thing you want is a child that don't appreciate you. That's to me, that's hurtful, you know. So I'm constantly telling my boys, they get tired of me saying that. I said, do you realize I held you, my son, for 9 months and you were totally dependent on me for your survival? I said you owe me
you owe me your life, boy.
You are here because I took good care of myself.
Right. Right.
And my boys, I said, they know. They're like, oh, Mom, okay, we already know you. We was in your stomach for 9 months. Mom, we know. You keep on reminding them they are blessed because of you.
Right. Yep. I agree with that. I mean, I feel there's a thin line between talking and speaking your opinion from talking back. Like I always tell everybody, because I'm a person, I know how I am when people talk to me. And if you talk to me in a manner where I feel that you're trying to be higher than me, or that you're trying to like, you're like disrespecting me with the way your tone is moving, yep, then I know I shut down. I'm like that person.
Yeah.
I'll be on some, oh, you talking like, okay, here I go. Shutting down. Bye. I'll be back when you want to talk to me in a normal manner. Mm-hmm. I'll be back.
Well, yeah.
So you let me know.
I don't, you know. Yeah, I feel as a parent, I don't feel like you should yell at your kids if you want to talk to them. Right. Because you will end up shutting down. You'll be like, it's not that you don't want to listen to them. It's more of just like, I probably will say something that I don't want to say, and I'm just going to be like, let me leave the room instead of disrespect my parents.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I've always been. When my parents and I get into it, I don't even try to, I'm weird. It's not that I'm not trying to listen to you. What's happening in my head is going to make me say something in a manner that I don't want to go out of context in. So it's best for me to walk away from the situation. But I do that with everybody, though. That's the funniest part. Like, when I get into it with my friends, my siblings, even when I have a boyfriend and stuff, I don't do well with tones. Like, if you come at me or you try to overloud me, I'm on some stuff. Like, I'm going with you. Like, we going all the way to the top. Because I don't know why you're, like, why are we doing this? But if, you know, like, why are we doing this? But if you talk to me in a manner of respect and we're both putting respect between each other, then I can talk to you. But when one thing I don't like is when you're trying to talk to somebody, you're trying to get your point across, and you're trying to express to yourself, and they're because they don't like what you're saying, they're ignoring you, or they're acting like what you're saying doesn't have any value. Okay, it doesn't matter what you're saying. I don't care what you have to say. But they want you to listen to what they have to say, and that's not fair.
No.
We're not communicating. Because communication is everybody's talking to each other in a manner of respect. Everybody's listening to what everybody has to say, and we're all taking it in. But if I'm communicating with you and you're ignoring what I have to say because you don't want to hear me, because what I'm saying you somewhat don't like, we're not communicating. And I feel like that even goes with parents. If I'm trying to communicate with you how I'm feeling, but you're not listening to me because you don't care what I have to say because you're my parent, then what are we solving with this conversation? We're not solving anything. But then when I walk away, then I'm being disrespectful. How am I being disrespectful? You didn't want to listen to what I had to say. So why should I listen to what you have to say? Even though you're my parent, I feel there has to be respect on both sides as a parent or anything. Because I feel like when I have a kid, yes, I feel like I'm going to be a very strict parent. And that just has to do with the fact of just who I am. But I mean, I totally enjoyed what you guys said about discipline and stuff, because those are some things that'll definitely be in my mind when I'm raising my kid. But I really want to allow my kid to be able to express themselves and be able to have a talk with me in a manner where I feel they're able to, you know, I can understand them, they can understand me, regardless of the age difference, regardless of the fact that they're my child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But there's, like I said, always there's a thin line between that. So I feel with discipline.
Okay.
Oh, wow. With discipline, which I enjoyed what Andrea said, and I also enjoyed what Makena said about just making sure you're talking to them. I am a person, I mean, like I said, my dad stopped whipping me at 13, and then obviously I started stepping into who I am and stuff like that. So I definitely am going to obviously have a talk with my husband or whoever I marry about just, hey, when it comes to the daughter, mm-hmm. at a certain age, I feel you need to start, you know, releasing your hand and kind of just going to the back. But that's when, as a mother, I feel I should step up and start being a mother in a sense of, okay, I got her for the discipline. So if anything happens, you need to call me because I'm going to go handle it. Because then it's woman to woman, if that makes sense. It's daughter to mother. So that's when those imparting moments are when those are those moments you need to impart into your daughter. Like, hey, your dad might not be disciplining you like that anymore, but now I'm big mom. Now you about to get it.
All right, so she said, now you big mama. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to say, I'm now big mama. What's up? What's good? How you living, you know? And even with my sons, like, even on that sense, we also need to learn how to nurture our sons in a manner that, you know, our society, unfortunately, is very corrupt. When, especially being a Black male in society and a Black woman in society, our society is corrupt. It is what it is, right? So we really need to impart things into our kids that we don't, because, you know, no offense, a lot of times when I hear about these incidents of abuse, unfortunately, I hear it in the Black community of them whooping their kid, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's not even a whoop. It's abuse.
You're leaving welts on your child.
Yes. What are we doing? That is not good. That is not okay. Let's not do that. So make sure if, like, you're gonna, you know, whoop your kid, come on, like, step up and make sure you do it in a right manner, not out of disrespect and everything like that. Oh, and if McKenna, if you have to go, you're good to go. I appreciate you for being on.
Yes.
Hello.
I'll be here.
I appreciate you, McKenna.
Yes.
McKenna, for being on.
You're welcome.
You're great. I love you.
I love you too.
Hello.
If you have to go, you can just disconnect and everything like that. But I do want to say, Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you, Mariah. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a mom and doing all that and being wonderful and doing everything in the community. You know, you're like my play mom. You already know that, though.
Yes.
So, thank you for always imparting stuff into me, not even being, you know, you didn't birth me, but, you know, thank you for always imparting different stuff in me and encouraging me, even not being your birth daughter, but being your daughter in general.
Oh, so you're welcome, Mariah.
Thank you for that. So if you have to go, I'll miss you, but I love you and have a good Mother's Day.
Okay, you too. Thank you, everybody. It's good to hear the discussions going on. I got to go back to being a mama. We got some things we got to take care of.
Hey, do what you got to do, mom.
Okay. All right. Peace.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Peace and success, everybody.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Andrea.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, girl. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how, you know, discipline. It's really crazy how discipline works and how, you know, just people really need to, I don't know, we just really got to learn what's the best way to impart into our kids, but also discipline our kids in a manner that will help them get through society. But also being, like I said, a Black male, a Black female in society, you know, we need to raise them in a certain manner and be comfortable having those talks with our kids about, you know, how our society is set up and everything like that. Not, you know, always, oh, okay, well, I don't want to tell them because, you know, they're young and stuff. No. They're going to live in this society one day. And one day they're going to be in your shoes, you know, that you were in society and young, living life. One day they're going to be in society and be an adult. So how are they going to move through society? So if you allow them, not teach them to hate, not teach them all that, but teach them to love and teach them that society is this way. This is how society is, you know, like, this is how you're going to have to move in society. This is how you're going to have to act in society. You know, make sure this, make sure that, be around this type of people, be around this, you know what I'm saying? So I feel those are things that we as a whole need to start really imparting to our kids, regardless of the fact of them being young, you know, because people, you know, there's been incidents of young kids going through certain things. You know what I'm saying? Being 9 years old and having to deal with certain things? Come on.
Well, yeah.
You know? That's crazy. You know, you shouldn't have to, you shouldn't have to deal with that. You shouldn't have to go through that. But that's what happens. That's when a parent really has to step up. You know, this quarantine has definitely taught a lot of parents, like I said earlier, about what they haven't imparted into their kids and what levels they've missed in their kids that they need to maybe, you know, work on. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, because it's like before the quarantine, you know, people were doing their normal thing, but it's just like you're giving your kid to somebody else at the end of the day. Now you have a chance to, or at least for some, if they're young, you actually have a chance to show them who you actually are, instead of a mom coming home from work looking tired trying to help me out, or even dad, you know, trying to help me out. But at the end of the day, I feel like it should be more, you'll see what your kids are doing. Let me just say it like that. You'll be able to understand your child by the end of quarantine.
Oh man, I agree.
I like what she said when it came to, you know, the talking back, and then, you know, having your own opinion, or being able to speak for your child, be able to speak for themselves.
I definitely agree with what she said too.
It just got me to a point where it's just like, I feel like communication is key in every relationship. So. If you don't have it, it's just more of just like, then what are you teaching your child to do with their child in the future if you won't let them speak up for themselves at all?
And what are you, you know, you're putting your child in a society, and what are they going to do if you don't allow them to speak up? They're never going to speak up in society. They're never going to speak their mind. They're never going to, when that person or that bully, because we didn't get to that bully part, but when that bully or something comes up to them, instead of them being able to speak that, hey, you hitting me or you disrespect me like this hurts my feelings and this is not okay, they're not going to want to do that because they're scared. Because they never had the opportunity to talk or speak up, because their parents always told them, no.
The same thing with that. I feel like you should never speak for your kid. Let your kids speak for themselves.
And it makes them more independent.
Which is what you want. You want your kids to be independent. You don't want them to keep depending on you and when they get older.
I totally agree with that. What's up, Kenzie?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, we are about to wrap this up, but Kenzie, before we wrap this up, I got three questions for y'all. Three. All right, first question is for Kenzie. During becoming a mother, what was one thing you feared?
During being pregnant or after?
After.
I feared not being able to give her the best life that I could provide for her.
Okay. Can you still hear me, Kenzie?
Like that? Yeah, it kind of cut out just a little bit.
So you said you feared what?
I feared, like, not being able to provide her the best life. Okay.
And why is that? Is it because of your age? Is it because of things you've seen, or what?
Like, on it, like, I would say, like, not really my age, even though, like, I'm still young. Right. Like, I'm only 22, and I'm, like, still figuring myself out, and now I have to figure out another human being, and like I didn't really like have like a plan.
Right.
you know, right. Like this is just something that just happened.
Yeah. I feel like that happens a lot for a lot of people, you know. There's no manual that says this is how you be a mother and this is how you, you know, graduate and being a mother and being a better mother. These are the tools you need, you know. There's no manual. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is definitely, yeah, I agree with that. What about you, Andrea? What is one thing that you feel that you might fear after you give birth?
I think my fear for giving birth, after giving birth, is just, you know, having my child fear to speak to me in any way. If they want to say something, like that's my fear. Like they can't talk to me. They can't come and talk to me.
Right. I like that. Okay. I do feel that a lot of times when we have kids, unfortunately, if we don't break certain things that we were raised mm-hmm. like, I feel like a lot of times we get with our kids and we become our parents.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I'm not saying that becoming your parent is a bad thing, but sometimes we become our parent in the sense of like certain things that we might have not agreed with that our parents raised us like. We become our parents. So then we just basically do what our parents did when they had us. And I feel like sometimes you can't take what your parent, you take the things that are good, if that makes sense, that your parents did. But sometimes you gotta leave the other stuff behind, if that makes sense, because your child is not gonna be you.
Yep.
So, you know what I'm saying? They might have some aspects, but they might not come out acting like you. They might act like your husband or something else. So,
you doesn't act like me.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, you have to really sometimes leave those things that your parents might have done, those old school ways, you know, the whipping, the putting the kid in a corner, the, you know, different things like that, and really figure out what will work for my kid. Will it be that I might have to pop him in the butt a couple times just for them to understand? Will it be that I take stuff from them? You know, you just really have to learn your kid. But you also have to learn, if you have other kids, if you don't just have one, you have like three or four, you got to understand your first one is not going to be like your fourth one. And your fourth one's not going to be like your third one.
Like not everything works for everybody.
Yes. And I feel like a lot of times, I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent, so I'm just going off of my own opinion. But a lot of the things that, you know, our parents try to do, you know, if you have older siblings or if you are the older sibling, you watched them try to do it with the younger, and you're like, honey, that kid ain't like me. You got to do that thing over there. What you doing? No, ma'am. You got it. That one's that you had that. Because I always tell people, I always tell my parents, be like, oh, he's so this and that, especially when they're talking about your sibling to you. I'd be like, you had him, not me. I would have tore that booty up. You heard me? Okay, but you know, so you have to take that into thought as well. So my second cut. My second question, Kenzie, is what are you looking forward to being a mother? Did you hear me, Kenzie? People with connection, guys. People with connect. Okay, Andrea. What are you looking forward to most being a mother?
I just think watching my kids grow. I think that's my biggest thing that I can't wait for, is just to see them grow up and to watch the process of them becoming great.
Right. I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree. Most definitely on that. Yeah. Because I think that I would probably say my fear of being a parent is just trying to be so perfect that I fail somewhere. And I fail because I'm trying so hard to be that perfect mom that I've seen from social media, that I've seen from being around different moms, that I literally get into it and I fail.
Okay, hello?
And then I have to... Hi! What's up, Kenzie? Welcome back. Welcome back.
The last thing I heard, the last thing I heard was becoming great. Watching them be- becoming great.
Kenzie, the question was, what are you looking forward to most becoming a mom?
I think that's like, what caught my attention, because the last thing I heard, because like that's how I feel too. Like I'm really before I even gave birth, like I just been like so excited to see of what she becomes, and I'm just like very curious on like I'm just very curious about her.
Okay.
Because like, cause me and her dad we're two different people. And then, and like, I'm just curious, and I'm just like really excited to see what she becomes.
Yeah,
right. I think that goes through every mom's mind. You know, like, what is she gonna become? Is she gonna become like the dad? But she,
but not only that. I think I'm like very curious because I knew like. I had a good childhood, but you know, like things aren't perfect, you know. But
right, never.
But I know, like growing up, there's things that I told myself, like, okay, I'm not gonna do this when I become a mom. Okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm not gonna do that. So like, it's making me wonder, like who she will become, you know.
Yeah, right. I think that's like where you get into that like whole. Like, looking at your childhood, okay, like, I don't want to do this, but I know, like, maybe I'll try, I might, like, move forward in doing it, but then I'll try to come in my own ways of becoming a mom. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think for me, probably the most happiest thing I'll probably be excited about becoming a mom is obviously what you guys said, the growth part of it, because that is just so phenomenal to see how fast they grow, how much they grow. Like, it's just so, like, tight. Like, it's dope, you know? But also, for me, one thing that I'm super excited to see is how much I grow.
Yeah.
As a person. Watching my child grow. How much I grow. Like, because a lot of times you'll hear moms say, you know, before I had my child, you know, I was really going down like a crazy road. But now that I have my child, you know, I've grown as a person because I have eyes looking at me. You know what I'm saying? I have something to live for. I have someone to live for. Like if I fail, she's still going to love me, or my child's still going
to
love me.
See, and that's another thing that I want to teach her is the important thing is like to always like to love herself.
Right. I totally love that. You need to, you know, and a lot of people don't. Yeah. That's the thing.
Especially when it comes to like dating, like you have to love yourself before you love anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Go and tell it. My cousin and I are actually reading a book called Relationship Girls. Girl, you better look it up. I'm trying to tell you. Well, I'm about to be relationship girls. I don't know about y'all out there, but I'm about to be relationship girl. Mm-hmm. You know? And then my last question, my last question is, what is one thing that you want to leave for your child when you're dead?
I honestly, like for a while, I told myself that I didn't want to have another kid, but I know that I want to have another one for like when that time comes, she won't be by herself.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. I definitely like that. Is there anything you want to leave for your kids when you pass away?
I think that's why I started working on and developing like my whole like wine business thing.
Okay. You want to leave that for her?
I like at the time, like I didn't plan on having kids, so
right. She's like, well, this wasn't the plan, but now it's the plan.
But now it is,
so it is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah, right. I feel like that's important to definitely leave something that she can definitely pass on to generation and generation. I just feel like one thing when it comes to leaving something or a legacy for your kid, you really need to teach your kid what that legacy mm-hmm. is
yeah.
before you leave. So that when you leave, they don't lose the vision that you had for that company. And I feel like a lot of people don't do that. That's why certain family companies, you know, might stop being a family company or the whole company shuts down, is because they weren't able to impart into their kids how important this legacy is and how this legacy can move from generation to generation. But it starts
yeah,
right here.
Yeah, because for my company, like I'm religious, but you know, I'm not perfect, you know.
Yeah.
I make mistakes.
There's nobody perfect. Hey, tell it on the mountain, girl.
But like with my whole wine company, like my whole thing was like I kind of based it off of religion, because a lot of people, and I was one of those people who like abused it, because Jesus didn't say that you couldn't drink, you know.
Yeah.
He just said not to get drunk.
And like
a lot of people forget to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of people don't drink to actually taste what they're drinking. They drink because they're trying to get through something, or they're depressed, or they're going through something with their boyfriend. So they're like, "Oh, I'm just gonna drink," and they don't even know what it tastes like. Can you tell me what's in it? Can you tell me what it was made like? Can you tell me the taste, the grape, you know what I'm saying? Some people don't actually use all of their senses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely agree with making a wine where people are really actually, you know, wanting to actually feel those senses, all their senses while they're drinking a certain beverage. You know what I'm saying? I totally agree with that. Andrea, what about you? What do you want to leave for your kids?
For me, I want to leave a legacy behind.
Okay, and do you know what that legacy is?
Right
okay.
now,
what is our legacy?
Basically, my legacy is my businesses, and basically, I don't want to say material thing, but it is a material thing. It's this house, and
okay,
but it's just it's a legacy of my family. On my dad's side, so it's basically, you know, it started off where we came from, and then I don't really want anybody to get rid of it or try to sell it. Like I rather them, I want to make a museum out of it to show the struggle, but then also show the up and coming and how great that this family became.
Right.
Yeah. I like I mean.
Oh, wait, no.
But the.
No, I'm just on. I'm doing. I'm
I agree with it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's technically what I wanna leave behind for my kids. It's like at least I want a bit of a pedestal so they won't have to struggle.
Right. I agree. I love that. I totally love that. I would like to say I probably, before I die, I definitely, the reason I started this podcast, and I always try to explain this to people, is for people to be able to speak their truth. And a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people don't want to speak their truth. A lot of people want to be quiet. But I'm one that I've never wanted to be quiet, ever, if you know me. If I'm able, well, my whole goal is to definitely make sure that this podcast gets to a certain amount and level that it needs to get to the point that it just branches off of businesses where I can start a whole bunch of different things off just this. And then for my kid, I'm just, one thing I'm going to impart into them when I have them is, hey, whatever you want to be, go do it. I follow you 100%. You want to go You want to go make, what, be a pancake maker? And you want me to put some money there? You want to be the world's best pancake maker? And you want to make a business off of that? Let's go do it. Where it at, though? Tell me what you need. And I'm not going to, and I'm going to make sure they're fully wanting to jump into that career. If that's what they want to do. And we know when I'm long and gone, I'm going to impart into them things for these different things I'm trying to do so that they can take it and they can make it even bigger.
Your vault now.
So I just, that's one thing I definitely want to impart. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they don't know what they're going to leave for their kids. And I feel as a mother, you should really want to leave something for your kid. Be it any heirlooms, that, let's just say a necklace that everybody has worn in your house or your family, and you want to pass it down. They should be able to have that, and they should be able to pass it down to their daughter and keep passing it until literally there's nobody left. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's nobody left, you know? So those are things that I think as a mother, a lot of mothers should definitely think about. But like I said, not being a mother, these are the times where I feel, especially me and you, Andrea, us not being, or I should say you and I, let me be more correct, you and I should be thinking about not being mothers is what can we do for ourselves right now that'll make us ready for when the time is right for us to be mothers of kids. And where do we need to, what's some areas we need to focus on that we need to work on? You know what I'm saying? What is some people we need to get with that are also like-minded like us when it comes to motherhood? Different things like that. Hanging out with other mothers. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you're not a mother, you shouldn't be hanging out with mothers. I think you should. You know why? Because that's where you will literally watch different things that you want to do as a mother, and watch some things that you know you don't want to do as a mother, you know? So those are things I feel are very important. But like I said, we gonna wrap it up. So thank you, Kenzie, for coming through.
You're welcome.
Tell my baby I say hi.
Oh, she right here.
Hey, boo. I love you. Andrea, thank you for coming through. Thank you for coming through. So this is our Mother's Day special. We love you guys. I just want to shout out to all the mothers, all the new mothers. If you a mother, hands up. What's up? I love y'all. You're loved. I hope you guys get, you know, some love from your spouse or boyfriend or baby daddy or whoever. It's going to give you the love that you need for Mother's Day. We love you guys. Thank you for doing everything you're doing for your kids, whatever it be that you're doing for your kids. Shout out to all my non-mothers that are not mothers. We love you guys too, because one day you're going to be a mom. So I hope you take some tips from this and you write some stuff down. Okay? So like I said, this is Speak Up.
You taught me the right from the wrong. You sat up with me through the night so long. On the days when I was sick and bad, today I just want to tell you, Mother, it is only you who understand. I love you so much. Happy Mother's Day to you. Like I said, this is Speak Up and Speak Out, and we're out. Happy Mother's Day to all.